The Holy Gospel for today is taken from the fifth chapter of the Gospel of Matthew. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." This is the gospel of the Lord. So when difficult things happen in life, many people ask the question, where is God? Why did this happen? Why did God let this happen? Is God punishing me? I think too often we get sucked into the idea that a smooth, easy life, comfortable life, is a life that is blessed by God. Anything else? Well, that can make us wonder. During the time of Jesus, this was very much the belief that if difficult or bad things happened to you or your family, God was punishing you for something that you did wrong. These divine punishments could even last for generations. You could be punished for something that your father or mother did. You could be punished for something that your grandfather or grandmother did, or your great-great-grandmother or great-great-grandfather. And if it was really bad, it could pass down through many, many generations. They believed that if troubles or sickness or financial difficulties fell upon you, it was easy to explain. It was because you or someone in your family sinned. You were cursed. You lost God's favor. God turned God's face away from you and no longer looked at you or took care of you. In this way of thinking, there was very little room for mercy. There's very little room for grace. Very little room for the love of God. And absolutely no room for you as a sinner. You were an outcast, cast out of the community. You were one of the forgotten ones. Jesus came and he challenged all of that. He challenged the notion of how life works and how God works. He challenged what God is like and who God cares about the most. He turned the whole world upside down. And he turns the world upside down in these teachings that we hear called the Beatitudes. We're told that Jesus went up to the mountain to teach. He went up to the mountain to teach not only because there were a lot of people who were following him, but also because mountains were known as places where people would experience God. Moses went up to the mountain to receive the law of God, the Ten Commandments. Now Jesus goes up on the mountain to share about the law in a new way. The gospel reading, Matthew is careful to say that Jesus began to speak. And in Greek, it could be translated as Jesus opened his mouth to speak. And usually, unless you're a ventriloquist, you have to open your mouth to speak. That seems obvious. But this phrase, he opened his mouth and began to speak, alerted readers of the gospel that Jesus was saying something really important. He was speaking with not only an open mouth, but an open heart and an open mind. He was sharing his very heart and mind and the very heart and mind of God. So Jesus opens his mouth to speak, sharing the heart and mind of God, who pronounces blessings, not punishment, upon the outcast, upon those who society ignores or has forgotten. He announces God's mercy and favor. He proclaims God's promises, not curses, upon those for whom there is no room, those who are banished, unwelcome. Blessed are you, he says, blessed are you who are poor in spirit, you who mourn, you who are meek, you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, you who are merciful, you who are pure in heart, you who are peacemakers, you who are reviled and persecuted because of your faith, blessed are you. You are not cursed. You are not being punished by God. You are not forgotten. You are blessed. And it's not you will be blessed someday. You will be blessed when you go to heaven. It is you are blessed. You are blessed right now because God is blessing you. When difficult things happen in life, when we feel brokenhearted, when we're grieving or feel destitute, when there is no peace, when we do not experience justice or mercy, when we are cast aside by others, when we are extremely vulnerable, it's easy for us to question God. Don't you care? Where are you? You're not punishing me, are you? Jesus proclaims an important message for us today and every day, that God is with us no matter what happens in life. No matter what, God never casts us aside. Even when others do, God does not. God never forgets us. God blesses the ones who are down and out, the ones who are weak and forgotten, the vulnerable, the despised, the unwelcome, the justice seekers, the peacemakers, the persecuted. Why? Because this is who God is. God of compassionate mercy. God of abundant forgiveness. A God of amazing grace. A God that we honestly don't completely understand. A God who turns the values of the world upside down. A God that we can trust. God who is much bigger than we are. There was once a conversation between a certain unnamed little boy and his certain unnamed mother who was a pastor. They were in their car on the way home from church, and the little boy said, "Mom, there's something about God that I don't understand." The mother asks, "Well, what's that?" The little boy replied, "Well, God is bigger than we are, right?" "Yes," responded the mother, "God is bigger than we are." Then the little boy said, "God is so big that God can hold the universe in his hands, right?" "Yes, that's true," said the mother. The little boy continued, "God also comes and lives inside each of our hearts, right?" The mom said, "Yes, that's true too." Then the little boy scrunched up his face and said, "But Mom, if God is bigger than us, big enough to hold the whole universe in his hands, and he comes and lives in our hearts, Won't God burst through us? Ah, yes, said the mother. God does indeed burst through us. I love that idea of God just bursting through us. Because I think that's what these Beatitudes are all about. That God bursts through. God bursts through sorrow and sadness. God bursts through the exclusiveness of society. God bursts through injustice. God bursts through barriers. God bursts through our world. Time and time again, God even bursts through us, always offering promise and blessings. We know that life is not always easy. We know that bad things happen. We know that not all people are honored or valued by society. We know that too well. As we journey through life, even and especially in our deepest need, God is with us no matter what. This promise, this blessing, gives us courage. Courage to be faithful because God is faithful. Courage to show mercy because God is merciful. Courage to seek justice because God is a God of justice. Courage to forgive because God is forgiving. Courage to reach out because God is always reaching out. Courage to bless because God is always blessing. God's blessings always burst through, no matter what. And usually, it's through sinners like you and me. This truth has every implication for how we live our lives, for what we think, how we feel, and what we do. Today, we let God's love, we let God's forgiveness, God's grace, God's mercy, God's justice burst through us. Today, we open our hearts to God to live our lives as a blessing to all God's children, especially to those who need it the most. Those who are the most vulnerable in our society. Blessed are you. Amen.